want to call your attention this morning to some scripture found in the 9th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, I had initially intended to read this entire chapter. It's somewhat lengthy, but there's several thoughts that I want us to pay attention to, several things that transpire in this chapter. It's obvious to me that Jesus was a multitasker. He could heal somebody, and then he could teach something, and then he could deal with opposition, and then he could turn and heal somebody else. I mean, he was constantly bombarded with people and their situations, their problems, their troubles, but he could do it all. Jesus can do it all. And it's clear if you read these scriptures, and I'm going to begin in verse 1 and read these. It says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And beheld, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts," that's scary, isn't it? "Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven, or say, Arise and walk. But that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. And then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew." Notice also, he just healed a man. Now he's calling Matthew to be one of the apostles. "He said unto him, Sit and receive the customs, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Notice he's also fellowshipping, healing, calling, fellowshipping. I mean, man, Jesus, just you go through this chapter, he's doing it all. In just a few moments, we'll see him doing some teaching. "The Pharisees saw, and they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice." Now he's bringing up some things of the Old Testament, asking for their philosophical or theological position. He says, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Then came to him the disciples of John. Here's the disciples of John. They come, they ask, they inquire some things. And I'm not going to go through all that. Skip down to verse 18. "And while he spake these things," okay, here he is teaching and preaching and dealing with John's disciples and educating them and discipling them, while he spake these things, verse 18, unto them, "Behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did the disciples. And behold, a woman." Now here he is going to this guy's house to heal his daughter. Actually, his daughter is already dead. He was going to bring her back to life, and does bring her back to life before we conclude this chapter. "And while he was on his way, behold a woman, in verse 20, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. When Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw..." Let me just stop there. I could go on and on and on, but I want to speak to you. I do have a text. I have a text that kind of sums up some of the things that I'm trying to say, because I want to speak to you about Jesus being the great physician. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Here kind of sums up what happened in the ministry of Christ. Some of the things that transpired. Verse 54, 55, and 56. He comes out of a ship, and straightway they knew him. They recognized that Jesus had come to their town. And verse 55. And ran through the whole region around and about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into village, and in other words, any and every village that Jesus entered into, every city, every country, every place, community that Jesus went into, they lay the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. There are a lot of various professions that could be correlated or connected to the ministry of Jesus Christ. There's, in the book of John, we read where Jesus is referred to as an advocate. I guess you could say that in one of the professions of his ministry could be considered much like a lawyer. He is our advocate. He intercedes for us. We have one who will represent us. Aren't you glad you have Jesus as your lawyer? We could perhaps go through various passages of Scripture, and there are those that are involved in building and being architects, and those are awful. Those are good professions. They're great professions. But there's nothing like the profession of Jesus when it comes to building. Jesus, the grand architect. He is the wise master builder. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I would probably be a little uneasy corresponding Jesus with the similarity of a politician. Most politicians, it seems, break their promises. But I assure you that Jesus Christ is president of presidents. He's governor of governors. He's king of kings, and he is lord of lords. But if you should go through the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ in the years that he was upon the earth, perhaps the clearest and most proven comparison to a profession is that of a physician. Now, I don't consider Jesus just a physician. He's not just a doctor. He's more than a doctor. He is the great physician. And I want to clarify that and qualify that before I conclude. My great-great-grandfather was a country doctor. Even when my family gets together today, and when they have a lot of them together, sometimes they'll bring up the fact that he was a doctor and some of his tonics that he tried to patent. He was not like a walking pharmacist. Some of the stuff that he had put together, he even tried to patent some of it when he was back years ago. I'm not sure what kind of doctor, whether he was a good one or a bad one. All right, he did try to help people. And most doctors do have that Hippocratic oath where they're trying to assist people and do no harm and help and assist and bring healing to people's lives. But I've come across some bad doctors in my day. I remember my wife had an appointment with a doctor, and I said, wait a minute, that name sounds familiar. And I remembered being in the hospital when he came out from surgery and lied, and the guy died. And I'm like, you don't need to go see him. There are good ones and there are bad ones. One thing is for sure. When it comes to Jesus Christ, he is a grand and great physician. Everyone that ever came to him always left whole. Everyone was properly diagnosed and everyone was healed. A lot of the doctors today, they simply treat the symptoms. You don't immediately walk out of the doctor's office and the ailment has ceased. The problem is gone. The pain is relieved. It just doesn't happen. But if you go to Jesus Christ, I assure you there is healing. Now, one of the things that we learn in his public ministry is that there was not only healing that was brought to people physically, but there was also healing that was brought to people spiritually. At the beginning of this ninth chapter of Matthew, if you look in it, he begins in this ninth chapter by bringing spiritual healing. He says to a man that was brought to him of the palsy, he says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And of course, the scribes were somewhat astonished at this. And they question him as, "Who do you think you are, thinking or claiming that you're able to forgive sin?" He says, "Well, that's nothing. You think that's something? Watch this. Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And he healed him. And he went home healed. So Jesus Christ has a surpassing ability to minister and bring healing, not only to us physically, but also to us spiritually. And I think in that respect, that qualifies him to have the title as the great physician. He can not only help you physically and heal you physically, but he can heal you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Every sick person ever brought to him was properly diagnosed. Every sick person that was brought to him was healed. No matter how deep, how complicated, how universal, how long-standing, Jesus Christ never failed, not one single time, to restore a person to perfect and sound health. I guess, first of all, what I want to try to establish is the fact that Jesus is a reliable physician, that he's accessible today, and that you need to go to him. If you've never experienced spiritual healing and the forgiveness of sin, you need Jesus as your physician. Now, Dr. Dallas, when I go various places to specialists, they always ask, "Who's your family doctor?" And I generally will say Dr. Dallas, though I typically can't get into seeing. I mean, when I get sick, it's like weeks and months before I can get into seeing, and I have to see a nurse practitioner and so forth. But I've always been able to see Jesus. He's never too busy. He's never canceled an appointment. He doesn't delay. You don't have to sit in his office, or you don't have to sit in the waiting room for hours on end. You have immediate access to the great physician. Amen. In this very chapter, there are several things that take place in the ninth chapter of Matthew concerning his ability, his power. One of the things that's noteworthy is that here in this passage, he goes to heal Jairus' daughter. And it's obvious to me that Jesus not only has the power and demonstrated that power to bring healing to those that were blind and deaf and those that were crippled or lame, those that had fever or disease, but even those that had already died, Jesus could restore them with health. And that, it wasn't very long. I mean, she was laying on her deathbed, had died. Jesus goes in, here in this particular passage of Scripture, in the ninth chapter, goes in, touches her hand, and she was made alive again. We read of another place. I believe it's in the book of Mark. Maybe it's in the Gospel of Luke. No, it's in Luke chapter 7, verse 12. On one occasion where they were taking a young boy that had died. They were taking him to the graveyard. The pallbearers were walking with him. Remember? They had him and they were walking him to the graveyard. And Jesus stopped the funeral procession and calls the pallbearers to stop. And he said, "Arise." And the man or the young boy sat up and was made alive. We also know that one occasion there was a man by the name of Lazarus that had been buried for 4 days and stunk. And Jesus stood outside of his tomb and said, "Lazarus, arise." And he was made alive. Nothing too difficult for the great physician. Now, there are no earthly doctors like that today. They don't exist. But there's a heavenly doctor that's available to you this morning. I want to establish just a few things. Jesus is the great physician. First of all, I want to establish the fact that He is capable of healing you. Now, you've got to believe He's capable of healing you, or you'll never receive healing. The process of going to the great physician includes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Over and over again, when Jesus was healing during His public ministry, He says, "Thy faith has made thee whole." The woman with the issue of blood of 12 years touched the hem of His garment, and it was her faith that made her whole. Seeing their faith, He said, "Take up thy bed and walk." Faith is an important part of the healing process in going to the great physician, Jesus Christ. You must go to Him in faith. Why don't people just go to Jesus? I mean, there's some unique aspects to His practice. He has immeasurable knowledge. He knows all about the diseases of the human race. He knows about your precise state. He knows about your heart. He knows about your progress. He knows the cause of your disease. And He knows how to bring healing. He has immeasurable knowledge. He has incomprehensible power. He has almighty power. If He can raise the dead, He can heal you of your ailments. Not only that, He has incomprehensible and immeasurable and inexpressible tenderness. When you think about the tenderness of Jesus Christ, He was always moved by those who were sick. Can you imagine the streets lined up with people that were on their sick beds, those that had disease, those that were lepers, those that had chronic illnesses? They were lined on the streets just hoping that Jesus would pass their way. Even this very chapter, there were two blind men that cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." And He says, "Do you really believe I can do this?" They said, "Yes, yes, 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 we believe you can do this." And those two men received their sight. His tenderness, His compassion. He was always full of tenderness. Many times He would simply say, "Do you want me to make you whole? Do you believe I can do this? Do you want my help? You want to be healed?" Jesus has the same tenderness and compassion today. As He looks down upon the world, as He looks down upon our city, as He looks down upon this congregation of people, He has inexpressible tenderness. Some of us might pass somebody by. We might say, "Well, they're not dressed right. Don't like the way their hair is parted. These people seem a little dirty. They may take advantage of us in some way." But Jesus isn't like us. When He sees a need, when somebody's hurting and they want healing, He is there to help them, to deliver them of their sickness and their distress. You know, His terms are non-negotiable. You know what's required in seeing Jesus? Nothing. It's without money. Amen? It's without cost. You can come to Jesus Christ. The only thing is, you must use His medicine. You can't use your own medicine. You've got to come to Him and let Him apply the balm. You must use the medicine of Jesus Christ. That requires some humility on your part. You've got to humble yourself to His way. There is no healing. His success is infallible. He's never failed to cure of the most vile diseases. He is the great physician, universal in His practice. It doesn't matter who you are, what your social status is, what your bank account has. It doesn't matter whether you're white or you're black, whether you're a Muslim. I tell you, Muslims need Jesus. They sure do. They need to be saved. It doesn't matter what status you are, what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter who your parents are, what your parents have done. Jesus is the grand place to come because He looks down upon this world as the hospital, and every single person on the earth needs Jesus as their physician. Let me establish that before I proceed. That's very important. Everybody needs Jesus as their physician. There's a lot of diseases. I've known people that have died of cancer. I've known people that have died of AIDS. But if you die in your sins, that's fatal. Eternally. Listen to me. If you die in your sins, that's eternally fatal. Every single person that's ever born on the face of the earth is diseased. Every single person on the face of the earth has a disease that's hereditary. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is we each one are sinners. Sin is the disease. It's compared in the scriptures, and I don't have time, but it's compared to as leprosy, it's compared to as many sicknesses and diseases that we see rampant. You've never seen a leopard, but I assure you, if you could see one and you could compare that to your spiritual condition, it would alarm you. Unclean, unclean, they walked around in the days of Jesus Christ. And that's what you need to see yourself as, unclean. There needs to be a cleansing in the soul. All of us are diseased. The souls of men, every person that's ever born, needs a great physician. One that can reach way down into their soul and remove the sin that stains it and make them clean. Each one of us are afflicted with hereditary, what is called hereditary depravity. I don't know of any religious groups. There are a few perhaps that don't believe this doctrine, but in other words, what it simply means is that you're born a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person needs to have the sin removed from their soul in order for them to go to heaven. Every person on the face of the earth is a sinner. You know, our problem today is not getting people saved, it's getting them lost. You'll never have a Savior until you become a sinner. You'll never be found until you realize that you're lost. We need the help of the Holy Ghost as we preach the Word of God to bring people to the knowledge of the truth, to the realization that they are without God and without hope. They need to see themselves diseased and in need of a physician. It's kind of complicated. It's deep-seated. It's universal. It's widespread. It's painful. And I assure you that if you remain in your sins, it's absolutely fatal. You can walk around with a disease and not know it. I went for a CT scan a few years back, and they were checking on my spleen, and they found something on my liver. You know, they found the spot on my liver. You know, I thought, well, I could have cancer. I don't know. You know, I feel fine. Obviously, I look fine. But when they examined me on the inside, and a lot of these CT scans and a lot of the x-rays that you're able to do nowadays, they're finding stuff inside. They're finding the blemishes inside of you. You got freckles on your liver or something, they can find them. They're not sure what it is. You can walk around with cancer or disease and not even know it. And there's a lot of people that are sinners, lost, separated from God, stained. Their souls are stained with sin, and they're walking around as though they're healthy, but they're not. They need Jesus. They've never gone to the great physician. Our problem, our sickness, it won't cure itself. You're sick. Every single one of us in the sanctuary this morning, We're diseased and we're sick, and there's only one physician that will help us, can help us, and heal us, and that's Jesus. And if you have never gone to Jesus with your sickness, then you're lost and you need to be saved. Amen. Listen to me. If you have never personally been acquainted with Jesus as a physician, I mean, I went to Him when I was lost. My soul was sin-stained. I was separated from God. It's sin that damns the soul. It's sin that keeps us separated from God. It's sin. This sin issue has to be taken to Jesus. We need Jesus to heal us and deliver us from sin. It was Dr. Pendleton who said that regeneration is more than just a fluffy feeling. Actually, it's more than peace. It is a power that separates us from sin. Baptists need to get back to some basic doctrine. Regeneration is more than just peace. It's more than just a feeling. It's a power that comes over you that delivers you from sin.
Amen.
Wow. That's regeneration. That's old time doctrine if you want old time truth. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let me use a text. I'm doing a lot of talking. Let me use the Word of God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1 just for a minute. I want you to look at a nation that's sick. You know, our nation can get sick. Israel was sick as a nation. And He sent a prophet by the name of Isaiah to them to tell them just how bad a condition they had gotten themselves in. How sin sick they were. How God saw them and in their symptoms. I'm going to all start verse 4. Sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head. He's talking about the nation of Israel. But he says the whole head is sick. The whole heart faints. From the sole of the feet even to the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefied sores. I mean, just like a pus. And he talks about it not being bound up, not being with a band-aid. No band-aid on it. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mortified with ointment. You know, that's your condition, lost and undone before God. Sick. Sick. I met a lady one time who said she never went to a doctor. She died at home, heart attack. I cornered her one time. I said, "No, haven't you gone to the doctor any?" And I think she went on one of Brother Vanderpool's Israel tours and had to go and get some shots for that tour. She said, "I went and got some shots, but I'm never going to the doctor because I was sick." And there's a lot of you in here this morning. You've never gone to Jesus because you're sick. And you're somewhat proud of that, perhaps. But I assure you, if you don't go to Jesus sick, you'll never be saved. Listen to me. You've gone to churches and you've gone to ordinances and you've gone to priests and you've gone to other people, but you've never gone to the great physician. And He alone is able to heal you of your sickness. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Why would you remain sick? Why? When you have a competent, capable physician available to you. I want to close. I'm about done. I want to speak to you just briefly about God's method of bringing healing to the human race. Some of the methods the great physician uses. First of all, He uses His Word. He said in the book of Isaiah that His Word would never return void. I'm telling you, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is able to cause an operation to take place in your heart. I mean, the knife will be laid to your soul by the Word being preached. It's important for you to listen to the truth, listen to the Word of God. The Bible says that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That you must accept it, you must embrace it, you must receive the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's able to cause you to be conscious of what your need is and how to pursue your greatest need and find healing and redemption and forgiveness. And that's Jesus. Jesus must be presented in the Word as the answer and the help that you need. Secondly, one of the methods used, one of the agencies employed in healing us is the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus' precious, pure, redeeming blood must be applied to your heart. It is the balm of Gilead. It is the thing that causes recovery and healing. It recovers and restores your relationship with the Holy God. You can't have a relationship with God the Father unless the blood is applied to your soul. Amen? Amen. Thirdly, one of the agencies employed in bringing healing to our life is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, amen? Healing. You know, we get healing even after we're saved. Our souls sometimes become wounded, afflicted. There are things out there that can still contaminate and disease your soul even after you're saved. Amen. They're not fatal. The common cold generally is not fatal. It's not like developing AIDS or cancer. But you can still get sick. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God, and the cleansing, the washing, the washing that takes place, the sanctifying that occurs by the Holy Ghost. Time will not permit me to go into all the different intricate aspects of how the Holy Ghost works to save us and to preserve us. But we are preserved by the Holy Ghost, kept by the power of God. Amen? Kept by the Holy Spirit unto salvation. Amen? The Holy Spirit continues to keep us healthy. Amen. If you walk in the world and walk in darkness and stay out of the light and out of the healing of God, you'll get sick as a Christian. Amen. Oh, but if you'll walk in the light as He is in the light, light is a emblem of health. It represents health and wholesomeness. Yeah. If you'll stay spiritual minded, you'll stay healthy. I know a lot of people are today, they're anxious to go out and keep these old bodies sound and in perfect health. We run and we jog and we have machines that we buy and we use them as laundry. We put them in the laundry room generally, hang our clothes on them. But we have them anyway, don't we? We join gyms and we are conscious about what we eat and we watch our cholesterol and we take cholesterol drugs and we're very self-conscious about our health. But I'll tell you something, the health of your soul is more important. Amen. You got to stay healthy as a Christian. And if you don't follow Christ and do those things that He requires, you'll get sick as a Christian. But the Holy Spirit's influence when you get saved. Yes, the Word of God will come to you when you're sick and you're lost and you've never been born again to the Spirit of God. The Word of God will come to you and make you aware of the fact that you need Jesus, that you're separated from God. You'll feel it. You'll sense it. The blood of Jesus will be far from you. You'll look at your soul and see that it's stained with sin and that the blood of Jesus has not been applied, and then you'll realize that the Holy Spirit is not in you. Listen, if Jesus Christ and His Spirit is not in you, you're none of His. Romans chapter 8. Listen, if God's Spirit is not upon your soul, if you've never had the life of God, the life of the Holy Ghost, the life of the Father to come in you, if there's never been a time and a place where you were born again in the Spirit of God, you're none of His. You're not saved. You need healing from Jesus. You've never been healed. You're still walking around diseased and uncured. See, if you get the healing that comes from the cross by the work of the Holy Spirit, you'll be immune from condemnation. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to close with a passage from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8. I think in 96 I preached about the bomb in Gilead. Actually, there are four questions, I think, that Jeremiah asks of the people of Israel. First of all, in verse 5, he says, "Why are you backslidden? Why did you let yourself get in such a shape?" He asks in verse 14, "Why are you sitting still? Why aren't you moving? Why aren't you responding? If you know that there's healing available to you, if you know that how to make this thing right, if you know how to fix this thing, then why are you standing still? Why aren't you actively involved in finding healing?" He goes on in verse 19 and says, "Why did you provoke God?" And he says in verse 22, these things. He says, "Is there not balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughters of my people recovered?" In other words, he asked the question, why haven't you recovered? If there's a physician that can make your soul whole, if there's medicine to bring healing, then why are you lost today? I'll tell you why you're lost, because you've not come to Jesus. All of these in these passages of Scripture, especially those passages in Mark, when they heard He was in their village, when He heard that He was in their community, when they heard that He was in their town, they eagerly came to Him. And you're going to have to come to Jesus Christ. Listen, when you come to Him, He'll heal you. And if you don't come to Him, you'll remain unrecovered. If you want recovery and you want healing, God would ask the question to you today. A physician is available. Redemption is available. Healing is available. Why are you remaining sick? Why? As we stand and sing a verse of some song, I invite you to come to Jesus Christ. There are people here this morning that have not been saved. They've never been born again. They've never been to the great physician. I know Him to be a great physician. I can vouch for Him. I can recommend Him. I assure you that whatever is ailing your soul, He can bring healing to it. I assure you of that, but you must come to Him with it. He can heal you. And if you've never been to Him, you need Him today. Let us stand and sing.